Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn 4 questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you, even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife, and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library, that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men bootcamp, this will be the 2nd best investment you will ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com. Hello, mighty men of God. Joe Martin here, man builder, award-winning speaker, author, and Tanya's husband and Kendall and Faith's dad. Welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. Every Wednesday, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Today is the Real Men Check-In. The Real Men Check-In is just a quick way to help you start your week on the right foot in the right way. Every Monday, I share personal insights, encouragement, and support that will move you beyond church to real change. I keep it short, I make it fun, and then I'm done. So let's get started. Real men don't forgive and forget. They remember and forgive. Let me say that one again. Real men don't forgive and forget, they remember and forgive. Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Now, we all know that that's a famous statement from Jesus Christ, but many people struggle with forgiving others for certain things certain people have done to them in the past, from abandonment to abuse, bullying to betrayal, and money to murder. And if you're a Christian, no matter how much you struggle with forgiving others, it's not even an option for you. It's a mandate. You have to do it because God says so. Now, Mark 11:25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." And if, like me, you've chosen to take these verses seriously, you've probably extended forgiveness to those who have harmed you, and you probably had to do it more than once in order to drive out bitterness and resentment. However, as my wife and I were preparing to lead our small group called Walking in the Word, unforgiveness was a topic that we planned to discuss. Initially, we came to the conclusion that although we had suffered pain at the hands of others in our past and caused pain to others, unforgiveness wasn't really a stronghold in our lives. And that wasn't until my wife did a little bit more praying and a lot more digging. She called me and she raised a question that floored me and removed the scales from my eyes when it comes to this topic. And the question was, what if forgiveness isn't always about a person? Now, let me ask that again. What if forgiveness isn't always about a person? Yes, forgiveness is about forgiving someone, but what if it's more than just about forgiving someone? What if God called us not only to forgive a person, but to forgive people? Problems we have with people, or even a position we may find ourselves in because of people. My wife and I spent about an hour dissecting this loaded question on the phone, and the Holy Spirit revealed to us great truths about a topic we thought we knew something about, but wasn't even close to understanding. I thank God now for wisdom and for us having each other's back. Now, as a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ, the question is, do you really struggle with unforgiveness? Now, before you think about answering that question, allow me to answer that question for you. Yes, you do. We all do. And we will continue to hold on to unforgiveness, battle with it, and get frustrated by it until we get to the other side of eternity. Now, the only thing we can do about it now is to confess it, repent for it, take it to God in prayer, and depend on His strength to deal with it whenever it rears its ugly head. Now, allow me to explain. Typically, when we think of forgiveness, or whether we're harboring unforgiveness, we think or say to ourselves, God, if there is anyone in my life, past or present, who I'm still angry with, bitter towards, refuse to pray for, or don't want to see get blessed, if so, God, help me to forgive that person. And if someone does come to mind, any mature Christian would immediately repent and attempt to do what is pleasing to God by forgiving that person. And if necessary, you'll do it over and over again until all the bitterness, anger, rage, and resentment is finally gone. Now, this could take days, weeks, months, or even years. But once you know who that person is, then you can ask God to help you deal with that person and your unforgiveness. But what if it's not a person you have to forgive, and it's much more elusive and deceptive than just one person? What if your unforgiveness is not tied to a person, but is tied to your past, a group of people, a persistent problem, or even an undesirable position you may find yourself in? If you really want to uncover unforgiveness in your heart, all you have to do is examine your past and present hurts, your failures, disappointments, pains, struggles, concerns, doubts, fears, insecurities, and even your pet peeves. And once you examine those things, just ask the Holy Spirit one question. Why is that thing, not just the person I've forgiven, still a problem for me? Why does that thing still cause me to get so easily angry with others? Why does that thing still cause me to be judgmental towards certain people? Why does that thing still cause me to be impatient with others? Why does that thing still cause me to doubt, distrust, or fear people? Why does that thing still cause me to lose hope in people or steal my joy? Why does that thing still cause me to act prideful and arrogant? See, the answer to these questions reveals several ways that unforgiveness can manifest itself in our lives. Think about it. The only way we can truly claim that we don't harbor unforgiveness in our hearts is to say we never get angry, unfairly judge others, get impatient, doubt or distrust people, get fearful or act prideful. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife and I still struggle with these issues, not just with people, but we struggle with these issues every day. What we realize is that we both may be forgiving people, but we both struggle with unforgiveness, allowing it to wear down our patience and our ability to love and be kind to others, including ourselves, not just the people who hurt or offended us. Now, I'm hoping that this is making sense. What we discovered is that it's a lot easier to forgive a person than it is to forgive what they do or did. Now, allow me to explain this. When my ex-wife and I went through a divorce several years ago, I was hurt and angry with the marriage ministry leader at our church because he didn't reach out to me to try to help us save our marriage, even though I knew him personally, lived in the same neighborhood, and had attended that church for several years. I knew in my heart as I continued to grow in Christ, I had to learn to forgive him. And I did, and I still do forgive him. However, I didn't know I was still holding on to unforgiveness, not towards him, now wait for it, but towards the church and church people, especially church leadership, including pastors. Even to this day, I can point out everything that is wrong with churches and church leaderships at any church because I forgave the person, but I didn't really forgive what he did and the people who do similar things. And that was several years ago. See, it's not enough to just forgive people. We have to forgive what they do. I'm not talking about accepting or approving, but to forgive what they do. Because if you can forgive people for what they do to you, you can forgive others when they do it to other people. Luke 23:34 says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they, what? Do. Notice Jesus didn't say, forgive them for what they've done, which is the past tense, or even doing, which is a present participle for you English majors out there, but do, which is a present tense verb. And that includes those who weren't even born yet, you and me. But notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, but could have said, forgive this one and that one. Forgive just the believers. Forgive just the non-believers. Just the Israelites or a specific group of people because they know not what they do. Jesus said to forgive them because he was being all inclusive of those who would eventually receive and have faith in him. That pronoun them is so powerful because that includes not just a person, but people, problems, and positions we may have issues with. I'm talking about certain types of races, religions, denominations, cultures, men, women, children, generations, politicians, law enforcement, institutions, establishments, idolaters, liars, adulterers, murderers, abusers, addicts, etc. I think you get the point. You can name any group. Jesus prayed for forgiveness for all of us, not just those who betrayed, persecuted, and offended him. He prayed for you and me because he knows what's in the heart of man and what we're capable of doing. Now, in my case, instead of asking God to help me forgive that ministry leader, I should have said, Lord, I forgive him for what he did, which was seeing me as a number and not recognizing my need. God, I forgive him for allowing religion to get in the way of relationship. And I forgive him for not understanding the power that came with the position you gave him. But I couldn't just stop there. I should have continued to pray and intercede by asking God, Dear Lord, I forgive my church, other churches, and church people everywhere for missing the mark and falling short of the desires of your heart and your glory. God, help me not hold on to bitterness, resentment, or hostility towards the body of Christ, which you are the head. Father, they know not what they do, and I'm just as guilty as they are. God, have mercy on them and have mercy on me. And whenever impatience, unrighteous anger, self-righteous judgment, fear, doubt, or insecurity arises in my flesh, allow me to forgive myself and them, not just him, again. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I realize now as I look back on the pain in my past, I needed to do more than just forgive my mother. I needed to pray for my willingness to forgive other moms like her. I needed to do more than just forgive my dad. I needed to pray for my willingness to forgive men who did and will do to their children what my dad did to me. I needed to do more than just forgive a family member who molested me. I needed to pray to God for my willingness to forgive any person who will continue to use and abuse children all over this world. And I needed to do more than just forgive myself for committing adultery on my ex-wife. I needed to pray for me to forgive any man who has done or will do the same to their wives and for the wives who won't forgive those men for doing it. If we can just do what Jesus did on the cross by not focusing on his pain, but instead choosing to focus on the people, institutions, establishments, and groups of people who are causing the pain, God will give us the supernatural ability to pray for those people and people like them. And who knows, but maybe in his sovereignty, God may choose to soften the heart of the people who are causing the pain. I know he can do it because somebody prayed for me and God transformed my sinful heart. What about yours? The point is, unforgiveness isn't just about forgiving a person, but rather forgiving those people without a face, the problems that we face, and the tough positions those people have placed us in. And if you do enough digging by asking the right question, why does this thing still bother me? You'll become more aware of the unforgiveness that is still in your heart, just like we did. To God be the glory. So that's the Real Men Check-In for this week. I hope that it blessed you. And if you found it helpful, please share this episode with other men who you may be mentoring or discipling. And make sure you check out our regular weekly interviews on Wednesdays. And to make sure you don't miss an episode, please visit our website at realmenconnect.com and join our growing community of real men. We also have a couple of free gifts waiting just for you. Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one radio podcast on iTunes for Christian men. Now, if this podcast has blessed you in any way and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. Just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving. Thank you so much for listening, because without you, there would be no Real Men Connect. So keep downloading, subscribing, reviewing, and sharing us with the world. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.